people still do not know how extreme our abortion laws are.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Our guest today is Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America, the nation's largest youth pro-life organization that has helped establish over 1,000 student pro-life groups, particularly on college campuses across the nation. Students for Life of America works tirelessly to train and equip high school, college, medical, and law school students to be active and effective voices for life on their campuses and in their communities. Today, we will talk with Kristen about recent polling that continues to reveal just how strong the pro-life sentiment and belief is among today's youth and how students can get involved and effectively engage and encourage their peers to be voices for the voiceless. Kristen, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
Well, we appreciate so much what you do, Kristen. Now, Kristen, I know several new polls have come out this summer, particularly from Marist and the Knights of Columbus, as well as the Institute for Pro-Life Advancement, that looked at the demographics of those that are involved in today's pro-life movement. Tell us what these polls revealed and how their findings fit into recent trends.
Well, you know, these polls show what we've been seeing on the college campuses, that young people are increasingly pro-life. They're against abortion. The Institute for Pro-Life Advancement poll that we had commissioned through Barna Research confirmed we had over 53% of millennials actually agreed that abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. And, you know, this is what Morris is finding. This is what Knights of Columbus are finding. This is even what Pew is on research, Gallup polls, are finding. The difficult thing that we know that our polls show and that what we see also on campus is that they're pro-life. They wouldn't have abortion. They would feel comfortable telling a friend not to have an abortion, offering to help, but they don't want to describe themselves as pro-life. And we call it the pro-life brand dilemma.
Well, that's interesting. And I know millennials often get a bad rap, so to speak, from conservatives for appearing to take a more self-centered stance on some political issues and also approaching politics oftentimes from a libertarian or liberal position. How does that caricature measure up to the true views and actions of millennials from your perspective when it comes to the issue of life?
Well, that's true. There was a study done after 2012, kind of a research of what happened with the millennial vote. Where did millennials vote? What were their views on multiple issues? And what they found was most of the times millennials will hold a pretty liberal view. And they poll very liberal on most big social issues of the day, except when it comes to abortion. And, you know, we saw this out on campus yesterday. Our team was out at Virginia Commonwealth University there in Richmond, and we were testing out our fall campaign. And we just have a very simple display showing where parties stand, where the Republican, where the Democratic Party stands on abortion, what their platform says. And we talked about the cycle of corruption and how Planned Parenthood has bought off an entire political party. And what's interesting, is, you know, just kind of confirmed what we already know, is that a lot of the millennials are coming up to this display, engaging with us, you know, kind of said, well, I'm not any party. I haven't registered for a party. I don't want to be a Republican, and I don't want to be a Democrat. But all of them, even if they were liberal or conservative, pro-choice or pro-life, they were turned off by the money. The fact that Planned Parenthood was putting so much money into the election cycle, putting so much into lobbying efforts, and then they in turn receive, you know, tenfold that back from the federal government.
Well, Kristen, to what can we attribute this generational shift on the issue of life? In other words, why are more and more millennials siding with their grandparents' generation with respect to life than their parents' generation on this issue?
Certainly, technology, I think, has played a tremendous role in really creating this pro-life generation. We all remember the 3D, 4D ultrasound commercials that GE did nationwide when they first developed that, you know, astounding new technology. We also have 40 years of a pro-life movement, an active pro-life movement that's been educating people about science, about biology, when human life begins. I think the partial birth abortion ban was a huge step. You know, in the 90s, there was all these legislative efforts to ban that late-term abortion procedure, and President Clinton vetoed it twice, and then President Bush finally signed it into law. But that took a long time, and it was a big public relations effort of getting people to understand just exactly what happens during a partial birth abortion. And, you know, we found this yesterday on campus. People still do not know how extreme our abortion laws are. And when they're told, it doesn't matter how they label themselves, they're all shocked.
Well, that's interesting. Fortunately, in North Carolina, lawmakers have made considerable progress in recent years on efforts to hold abortion providers to the same or similar standards and standard of care as other medical providers. It's interesting that while we see intense opposition to these types of measures from the abortion industry, the Marist poll actually found millennials were the strongest supporters of equal medical standards. Why do you think that that particular point in this debate resonates so strongly with young people?
I think it's common sense. Their friends are having the abortion. It's their family members having the abortion. And they want to make sure that when she goes into that center that she's going to come back out. Her child isn't, but she will. And it's a very self-centered, very common sense argument of saying, look, these abortion facilities should be safe. They should, you know, have the same standards that any other ambulatory surgical center can have. And that wins the day. When I have a conversation with someone on campus who might seemingly disagree with me about the so-called right of abortion, I can easily get them to say, yeah, but you're right. That these facilities should have the same standards of care and have the same medical requirements. It's a very common sense thing.
And now, an important message from NC Family President John Rustin.
I truly believe the outcome of the November 8th general election will have more of an impact on the future of religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, the stability and prosperity of families across our country, and the fundamental character of our nation than any election in our lifetimes. In recent years, we have seen far too many Christians sit out elections. Friends, we have a unique opportunity to step up and be leaders for our nation. Just like Esther in the Bible, I truly believe we all have been called for such a time as this.
Help today by ordering NC Family Voter Guides to distribute in your church, community group, and neighborhood at ncfamily.org. In addition, get your own individualized voter guide to print out and take to the polls with you, also at ncfamily.org.
Well, Kristen, it's an election year, of course, which means that both major parties revised and adopted their party platforms at their respective conventions this summer. Did either party make any notable policy changes related to protection for the unborn, things like conscience rights for medical providers, as well as taxpayer funding for abortion in those party platforms?
The Republican Party just strengthened their pro-life stance. They had a great platform in 2012. And they had a great platform in 2016. A lot of it's thanks to the tireless work of one of my mentors, Phyllis Schlafly, who just passed away. And she's single-handedly responsible for making the GOP the pro-life party. And she just recently authored a book. I was so honored to write an afterword of the book that she put out right before this year's platform committee meeting for the Republican Party. The Democratic Party, on the other hand, has gone to the extreme. They know they're losing this issue, and they're going to the extreme. Now they are advocating, they have officially changed their platform to advocate for taxpayer funding for abortion whenever, wherever. So you, the U.S. taxpayer, will be required to pay for anyone's abortion, no matter how late in pregnancy, no matter what the circumstance. They want you to pay for it. And this goes against, you know, longstanding Democratic traditions. Even President Obama, when he was running for president, pledged not to mess with the Hyde Amendment. And here they are saying they want to wipe away that amendment. That was the amendment that was passed in the late 70s that prevented taxpayer dollars from funding U.S. taxpayer abortion.
I know that Students for Life has a remarkable presence with more than 1,000 student organizations across the nation, as I mentioned at the outset of our discussion. What are some of the most effective and positive ways for students to be a pro-life voice on their school campuses this school year?
Well, one of the big things that we always encourage students to do is just to get active. You know, find a pro-life club on your campus or start a Students for Life club and then go out to your community. You know, it doesn't require any money, it doesn't require you to be an official group, but go out and pray in front of an abortion facility. Go meet the local pregnancy resource center and offer your help. I think once you get out there and you really see the front line, it's something that transforms you. When you see those women walk into the abortion facility at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, looking down, crying, and you see her leaving a few hours later doing the exact same thing, you're going to realize that this is a place where we need you. I think it's important to take a stand in your campus and to have these, you know, pro-life student groups, because you saying you're pro-life validates the belief. It makes it cool. It makes it something that people should want to belong to. So make sure you have a Students for Life group or a pro-life group on your campus. Make sure you're seen. Make sure you're visible. You know, we have a lot of displays and events that you can do at Students for Life that are absolutely free that will actually send you to do. And there's many other pro-life organizations across the country who will do the exact same thing.
Well, how can students get plugged in with a local pro-life student group? And if there's not one already on their campus, how can they work to get one started?
Well, you can just go to our website at studentsforlife.org. You can email us directly at info@studentsforlife.org. Let us know what campus you're on, or, you know, a campus maybe your child or grandchild might be heading to, and then we'll get back to you, tell you where the group is, what's their contact information. If there's not one, we'll give you the steps to get one started.
Well, that's great and very helpful information. Let me repeat that website. It's studentsforlife.org. Again, studentsforlife.org. Well, Kristen, I know you've been involved in the pro-life movement for a number of years, and this is great information and very encouraging that we see a trend in the direction, especially among millennials and other young folks in our culture, for life. What words of additional encouragement would you offer to our listeners across the state of North Carolina? I know many of their hearts are very open to get involved and to support groups like Student for Life and the North Carolina Family Policy Council. But what words of encouragement would you give to them? And if there are other students listening, if you had an opportunity to kind of sit down with them and just personally say, hey, look, I really appreciate your heart for this issue. I want to encourage you to go out and make a difference. What would you say to them?
I think the number one thing for everyone, no matter what your age or where you're at in life, is that I think people need to have hope, that you need to be encouraged, that this is a battle that we're winning. We are changing our culture student by student. And this is something to invest your time in. Your most precious asset, whether you're a grandparent, parent, or a college student, is your time. And this is something to invest that precious asset into, because this is a battle worth winning. This is a battle worth fighting. And we know that lives are being lost every single day. Women are being wounded. Men are being wounded. Families are being torn apart. And this is happening all across our country. So it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. There's always some way that you can get involved. You know, we have programs at SFLA for church captains. Sign up to be a church captain. Bring a pro-life display or educational exhibit to your church. You know, get involved if you're a student. We have groups now in middle school, high schools, and college campuses. We can get something going. If you're a grandparent, talk to your grandchildren. Talk about moral absolutes and how there is right or wrong. That's very, very important. There's always something you can do. You can get involved. Volunteer at a local pregnancy resource center. Adopt a child. Sign up to be a foster parent. There's a place for you.
Wow. Well, there is so much that every individual can do. And I know many of our listeners are encouraged so much by that, and so appreciative, Kristen, of the great work that you all do at Students for Life of America. And I just want to thank you for your time, for sharing this wonderful information. And again, I want to repeat the website so that people can avail themselves of that information, and that's studentsforlife.org. Again, studentsforlife.org. And with that, Kristen Hawkins, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your very important work engaging the culture, and especially young people, to be voices for life and the unborn in our nation.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook.